It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events, sports, arts, entertainment, food topics, automotive topics, relationships. It's all here now from belowtopsecret.com. This is the BTS Mix.
And welcome everybody to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. We hope that you had a great Mother's Day. And Doc, what did you guys do for Mother's Day? Anything fun?
You know, we just really kind of stayed here. You know, my fiance and I, we live here in New York, and my parents are in Indiana and her parents are in Pittsburgh. So, you know, it's kind of difficult for us to get out and see them. It's a bit of a commute. But, you know, we made the phone call, send the cards, a couple gifts, and, you know, just kind of took it easy that day.
That's sweet. That's kind of what we did.
Yeah. What did you guys do?
We played Call of Duty 4 all day.
That is rock and roll. That sounds like the best Mother's Day ever.
It really is. We told I told our nephews, what are you guys doing for Mother's Day? And my wife goes, well, you know, we bought this new game for Meredith, my daughter. And she said, well, I want to learn how to play it. So she's learning how to play it. And she told her nephew that. And he said, oh, well, how American of you. Well, yeah, well, it was fun, and she's actually doing pretty good. It's tough, though, because in this particular game, unless you're live online or you're playing against each other, there's no way for both of you to play a particular mission together. So it's tough for me to sit there and not go, hey, honey, no, turn right here. No, use your grenade, you know, and that's pretty much how we spent Mother's Day, yeah.
Well, nothing says I love you, mother, more than whipping hand grenades at people. I really like that.
Well, I was just trying to take some advice from our previous show. You know, they said these things, that bring you closer together, and video games was one of them. And I have to say, there's a lot of tension playing the game. And then, like I said, I usually try to butt in and end up making everybody mad. So I have to leave the room until she's finished playing her level.
Yeah, I could see how that might become a bit of a problem. And, we've got a great show today. We're always excited to have members on. And today we're very fortunate to have the member What You Know on. And you know him all across the BTS board. And he's going to be joining us here in a little while.
Yep. And we've also got the host of the Outdoor Channel's Shooting USA, Jim Scouten, is going to be talking about handgunning issues in the United States. And it's an interesting interview. We think you're going to like that pretty well too.
Absolutely.
And I got to jump in here and say that next weekend is my birthday. Yay!
Hey, happy birthday, Spencer. Early.
So what am I going to do? I'm going to fly over and say hi to Dave Rabbit. Boy, am I lame or what?
And a happy, happy birthday to you, Spencer.
Actually, we're flying through Dallas. I thought, you know, Dave and I just have a little sit-down meet. I've never met Dave in person, so this will be interesting, and I'm a little scared. But after that...
You'll definitely have to wear your Kevlar vest and, just duck for cover when you need to.
I thought I'd just wear a kilt. You know, that first impression is always very important. So, you know, just wear a kilt and some kind of funky T-shirt.
You know, and a kilt's fine, but if he starts offering you scotch, you run as far away as you can. Just trust me on that. The word around the campfire.
Sounds like you've had some experience at that.
I kid. It was bourbon he offered me, but that's another story.
We'll save that one for our little special time. Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump right in. Our first guest today is What You Know.
You watch your language on the air.
Come on. It'll be fun.
And joining us now on the show is a quite recognizable BTS member. He's all over the post, always contributing to things. And he is the ATS concierge. You may know him as What You Know. And we're glad to have him on the show. What You Know, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. How you guys doing?
We're great. We are great. We have there's a post up online here, and you offered to have people ask you some questions, so that makes our job pretty easy. So we'll just start with a few of the questions that we have on the website here. H-Sir writes in, H-Sir2112 writes in, and there's a few questions. Apparently now, I guess maybe we should preface with something. There was a dance video, apparently, that was posted. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I had posted up on YouTube about a year or so ago a video of me dancing, and I guess it was quite funny, popular, and embarrassing. And so Asla actually asked if I was going to do her another one, and I don't know. I put up a little thing to let people know to vote, but I didn't get any responses, so I guess Asla's not going to get that. Sorry.
Well, we've also got Jen South 31 that wants to know, are you going to say hi to any of your friends?
Absolutely. Jen is wonderful. I love her. She's great. Another one of my great friends on here is Enjoys 05. He's a really great member. There's so many people on ATS and BTS that are so great to be with. I really love being a part of this site. Because of the members, they're really great people.
And what are a few of your favorite threads on ATS and BTS?
Oh, goodness. I think the three-word story is great. I'm always on that. Watching for people's avatars on the Rate the Avatar Above You, I love that one. That keeps going and going and going. It's great. There's a bunch of them that are really just, there's some top-notch, really intelligent people that put forth. Anything posted by Lombozo is a must read.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and call you Matt. We got your first name, Matt. It's fewer syllables, so it's easier for me to do that. We were talking about avatars just a second ago, and I like yours. Who did yours? Did you do your own avatar?
It was actually, the original cover is from a book called Still Life with Woodpecker. And it was a book by Tom Robbins. And so I sent the cover off to Semper Fortis, which, as you know, does great work with avatars. And I had him tweak it a bit to make it Still Life with Wookiee.
Well, it looks great. It looks really good. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Matt. Give us a little history about your life.
Oh, God.
Well, back in the day,
let's see. Let's see, I'm 32 years old, living in Wayne, Michigan, which is, you know, as I said before, the armpit of Detroit. I've been all over the place, all sorts of different cities, and I've moved a lot. I'm a construction worker by trade, concrete, so I just move wherever the work is.
So how did you come across BTS and ATS?
Oh, that's an interesting story, actually, because I have no idea how I got onto ATS at all. One morning, no, I have no idea. It's a complete mystery to me. One morning, I woke up and I looked at my computer monitor, and it was on ATS, the homepage. It was on about the new Civil War in America, and I read it, and I was, like, hooked. And so I signed up, and as soon as I signed up, I lost the threads because I was going to reply to it. And so I spent 2 weeks hidden in my home. I called into work, made some lame excuse like I was sick with pneumonia or something, and I spent, like, 2 weeks hunting for that thread, and I could never find it again. So it's still a mystery to me how I got here, but I haven't left.
It was probably either the aliens or the New World Order. I'm gonna put it on one of those two groups.
Oh, don't forget the Masons.
Well, yes.
dang Masons.
John Q had approached us about doing a soap opera thread, and you started one originally, and this is one of his questions that I wanted to pose to you. He says, oh, I hope I'm not late with this. Obviously, you're not, because you're in here. As creator of the soap opera thread, which was great, by the way, do you have any plans to create a second series or even a spinoff? Do you have any other ideas, games that you could bring to BTS?
I have brought a game. It's a game that's going on right now. I just made a game thread, and I started off with a Easter egg hunt. Now, in one of my threads, in a post somewhere, I've hidden an Easter egg. The person that finds it gets to make up the next game. That's how it's going to be. It's a simple game. You just got to find that Easter egg. And I post all the time, so it's really hard to find it, but it's there. It's in a post somewhere. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be easy to find it, but I will give you a little hint. I hid the Easter egg. And at the same day, I made the game thread.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll give somebody some insight into where that Easter egg could be hiding. So, all right. Hey, you know what? I'm going to play this game, too, because I want to find it.
There you go.
And if you need a link to what you know's game thread, You can just actually find his profile anywhere online. That'll be kind of a hunt in itself. And he's got a link to it at the bottom of his profile, so you can check that out.
Absolutely.
Hey, that's pretty cool. That would be a great thing to try out the new search functions they've incorporated into the site, too.
You guys do such a great job. I just hope you guys keep it up. Every single time that you guys post a show, I'm right on it. Not as fast as
Silent Shadow. Yeah.
I don't know. He's like right on there. I don't know how he does it. You guys are going to have to go to like the CIA World Factbook or something to stump this guy. I don't know what's going on.
We definitely have our work cut out for him. There's no doubt about that.
Well, what you know, Matt, we thank you so much for being on the show. And, you know, we'd like to invite you back sometime if you're available. And, of course, we look forward to a lot more of your postings because you've got some great ones out there, too.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's great to be on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity. And you guys, of course, you do a great job.
Oh, Matt, stop it. You're making me blush. Thanks for joining us, my friend. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
Come with me. Let's have fun adventures together. There's no need for clothing.
Yet another time, I'm looking through the BTS website, and I come across this great post, and the title of it, and this is in the Breaking General News Forum, is 13-year-old steals dad's credit card to buy hookers. It says a 13-year-old from Texas who stole his dad's credit card and ordered two hookers from an escort agency has today been convicted of fraud and given a 3-year community order. Ralph Hardy, a 13-year-old from Newark, Texas, confessed to ordering an extra credit card from his father's existing credit card company, took his friends on a $30,000 spending spree, culminating in playing Halo on Xbox with a couple of hookers in a Texas motel.
Okay, I got to tell you, first of all, you rock! No, you know, that's only in Texas. Well, probably not only in Texas, but, and second of all, thinking back on my misspent youth, I'm going, man, where was this kid when I was a kid?
Oh, I know it. And your reaction to it is twofold. And I think Ross Obasi, 420, the guy who put this up in the first place, I think he has it just right. And he says, the adult in me wants this kid to learn the value of a hard-earned dollar and to say that if he's going to spend time with hookers and Xboxes and cheap hotel rooms, he should have to work for it. But the kid in me is bowing to this kid's testicular fortitude. $30,000? That's a lot of money. And I got to agree with Ross Obasi on this. I'm kind of split on it. Half of me is like, man, that is awesome. That's pure rock star. Loving it. Loving every bit of it. And I'm just picturing, you know, these two kids just, you know, playing Xbox with some hookers in a hotel room. And it's cracking me up. It's killing me.
My question is, I didn't know hookers took credit cards. Not that I know these things, but where would you swipe it?
Yeah.
You know, Lomboso posted, I imagine when the dad got home from work and the mom was sitting there for him with the credit card statement. But I swear, honey, I didn't order any hookers.
She says, yeah, sure. The next thing you know, you're going to be blaming this on little Timmy. How could you? Oh, man. You know, stories like this come up and you just kind of wonder, what was the impetus for this? I mean, this kid does have some serious cojones. I mean, that's pretty impressive stuff right there. And I got to agree with the dad, you know, prosecute him, rather, to the full extent of the law and let him learn his lesson and hope that he, you know, make him pay some of it back. And, you know, that's got to put the dad in a lot of trouble. I mean, I can't imagine that that's going to be an easy debt to pay off.
Well, you know, Doc, here's the other thing. you kind of wonder what kind of environment this kid's raised in the first place. It's like, yeah, you know, did you hear dad talking and you just decided to do it? Or maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe his friends talked him into it. But, I mean, to run up $30,000 on a credit, I mean, you're not thinking about it at the time. I've been to Vegas. Hey, I know about these things, not the hooker part. But, you know, you can get into the moment and just start throwing money around. Of course, it's not your money. It's even better. But golly, I mean, where did this kid get this idea for this? I mean, was he playing Grand Theft Auto 4?
it's very possible. And I'm sitting here wondering, you know, American Express has, you know, great card member services, and they think, you know, oh, you know, if somebody makes a fraudulent purchase on your card, they'll take care of it. They'll get you the sweetest tickets to the newest concert, blah, 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 blah. Do they have hooker protection? That's what I want to know. If someone fraudulently buys hookers on your credit card, do they protect against that? That'd be a good – I might call them later on this evening, see if they have that. That'd be a good service.
Which brings up a great point, Doc. I mean, if you are going to be involved in hookers, it's your responsibility for protection.
That's right. That's right. It's, yeah. And that's our public service announcement for the day. We could pat ourselves on the back for that one.
There is a degree of perversion which I don't think would serve you kids well.
All right, now let's jump to the relationships forum. It's one of my favorite places to go, as I know it is yours too, Doc. And this post Doc found, it's called "Chick is Starting to Scare Me." It's by the Humble One. How's everyone doing? Let me start with this little history first. This girl I'm talking about, I've known her since high school. We've always used to see each other since we have some classes together, but we would only talk once in a while. Anyway, after high school, I never really saw her around much. It all started when my buddy had one of his friends prank text her. I managed to get her to tell me who she was, since I'm such a clever SOB. So after that, we started talking a bit about college and what we've been up to since high school, etc. I made her acquaintance since then and really have no romantic interest in her or ever intended to sleep with her. She's not a bad-looking girl. It's just something else. I could tell this chick is attracted to me. This is what is creeping me out. The other day, she started sending me picture messages of old yearbook photos of me, like when I was in 8th and 9th grade. Now, this is kind of creeping me out because I was thinking, what is she doing looking through my yearbooks that are 5 and 6 years old to see photos of me and then sending them to me? Then there's the other stuff too, but it's a small thing that kind of scared me. So I'm getting a little creeped out. Am I making a bigger deal of this than what it is? What if she turns out to be like a stalker? What should I do?
Well, I'm no genius by any stretch of the imagination, but you couldn't write the beginning to a horror film any better than this. I mean, you know, it seems like a sweet, innocent acquaintance, your friends, your old pals from college. And, you know, you meet up, you reunite, you say hi, and you think she has some interest in you, but you're not really interested in her. Then all of a sudden you start to get these seemingly innocent, albeit rather creepy, you know, pictures of you from your old yearbooks. And then I assume it starts to escalate from here. So now he needs to watch out, you know, for photoshopped old high school yearbook pictures, like with her in the picture now, or her, you know, kissing him on the cheek in the picture. And then, you know, maybe like a dagger up in the next picture. And then, you know, that's when he turns around and she's standing there with a giant kitchen knife and she's about to stab him and it's going to get crazy. That's exactly how this is going to play out, the Humble One. So my advice to you is that if it's not going to work as a girlfriend relationship, it's not going to work as a friend relationship at all. There's something very wrong about this, and I would recommend heading for the hills.
Well, Funky Monkey wrote, I would think that maybe you should just leave her alone. Tell her that you can't see her anymore or something like that. Just stop talking to her altogether. I had a similar situation once, but the girl I met was on MySpace. She was rather creepy. Well, yeah. You know how many weirdos are on MySpace? Now, if you're on MySpace, I'm not calling you a weirdo. I'm just saying there's a lot of weirdos on MySpace. And I agree. I mean, once the pictures start, then maybe she'll Photoshop your face onto Doogie Howser with the little lab coat and want to play doctor. You know, it just gets really creepy. I don't know where that came from, Doc. I'm sorry, but it could get really creepy at that point.
I'm still thinking about Doogie Howser.
Sorry.
Yeah, this is this is definitely one of those awkward kind of creepy situations. You know, I had an experience similar to this in college, and I went out on a single date with this girl. She seemed very nice. Throughout the night, you know, you just got the impression that something was not right upstairs. And it got to the point, you know, I said, listen, I don't think that this is going to work out. You're a very nice person, but, you know, we're just two different people. Gave her the whole spiel, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, she'd keep coming. We lived in a dorm situation, and she kept coming to my dorm room, and I would tell my roommates, you know, don't answer the door if it's her, don't answer the door. And she would just stand out there, and we'd kind of peek through the, you know, the peephole of the door, and she'd just be standing there. Well, one time she caught one of my roommates off guard, and she came with this plate of cookies, and she said, I made these cookies for Doc, and they were saying, oh, yeah, sure. Well, brought them in. It turned out that they were Entenmann's cookies, and she was just this creepy, weird stalker girl. And I talked to a couple other guys who knew her and said, yeah, there's something very, very wrong there. Make sure, you know, you might want to invest in a security system. So I have a bit of experience with something like this, and I got to tell you, you know, you might want to take off from this.
Well, MRD Distributor, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing what his screen name is, also posted, I was in a situation like this once. This girl was digging into my past, going through my old yearbooks, going around town, gossiping with people about me, following me around, reading my posts on the net, et cetera, et cetera, and then a big creepy.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe Jeffrey Dahmer was just looking for a snack. I don't know. We'll leave that topic and put it to bed. But again, the humble one, I think, you know, be careful with that one. That's all we'll say.
Maybe we need to start a thread on how you've been stalked. You know, you can actually have a stalker thread, and that way we could identify them. And then the stalkee thread, where, you know, you could share your stories about all this. And this is probably a great great thread to do that. I mean, it kind of follows the same topic, but start a new thread if you want to and tell us about your strangest stalking situation. If you're a fan of Uma Thurman, though, you know, you might not want to post. I think there's probably legal issues there.
Yeah, you might get a visit from the police at some point for that. And speaking of creepy things, have you noticed, Spencer, that the price of everything has just been kind of going up a little lately? Could it have something to do with this recession we're supposedly not in?
This is something that, you know, we've talked about, that Dave and Johnny have talked about, that the guys at the Bub Politics show have talked about, Martin and Justin. The gas prices are so tied into everything, and you know, a lot of people realize that now, that when you're paying, when truckers have to spend over $1,000 to fill up those big rigs to get your supplies here, they're going to have to pass that cost on to us, the consumer, and it affects every part of our life. If anything is throwing us into a recession, I don't think it's the housing thing as much as people can't afford to buy gas anymore, people on fixed incomes and things like that. And now you're seeing all of this start to translate into food prices. They're blaming ethanol for the shortage in food. Hey, you know what? We've been talking about the bees gone for a long time. I mean, all the bees are disappearing. That's probably causing a little bit of that.
And I have a feeling we're gonna be hearing a lot more about this in our rant forum. And in fact, Elevated one of our super moderators here on BTS, put up a post, and this is in the rant section, and he titled it, "It's a Tire, a Stinking Tire." And he goes on to say, well, over the weekend, I had some running to do. Jump in the old car, head down the road. Hey, a warning light is on. Low tire pressure. Crap. I hate cars. Okay, stop. Local filling station. Fill the tires up with air. That should do it. Get my running done. Get back home. All is well. Get up for work the next morning. There's another warning light. Extremely low pressure in the tire. I get out, walk around the car. Oh, crap. The back tire is almost flat. Great. Head to the station, fill it with air, decide on my way to work I'd better stop and have it looked at. So I drop the car off at the local tire place, call a buddy from work to pick me up. I'm sitting there at work, the phone rings. Hey, this is Sean, a tire man. Your tire has a nail in it. You're going to need a new tire. The nail was on the sidewall, and we can't patch or plug there. I have one that matches your old tires in stock. It's $158 installed. And then he highlights $158. I don't have $158 lying around. Man, I'm upset. We were just planning on a weekend getaway to go to Kentucky to see my daughter. Now this $158 problem. Arr. Well, I didn't mean to make that sound like a pirate, so I apologize to all the pirates out there.
Arg, we gotta go round up some tires. Arg.
For our boats. Wait a minute. Our boats don't need tires. We're safe. Arr.
So he went on to pay the $158, and it looks nice on his car, and they did throw in a free rotation. How lovely of them. But his conclusion was that he hates owning a car. And this kind of hit home for me because I have a similar situation. My car, the back right tire is getting a little flat, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, you know, that's going to be $150-$200 over here in New York. And it's just a pain in the butt. And everybody's trying to rip everybody off, and everybody's trying to keep their own edge. And you know, this type of pattern economically cannot continue. I mean, I'm no economics master by any stretch of the word, but, you know, I see a lemming when I see one, and this is certainly a lemming.
Yeah, and, you know, I went through this situation, I guess, about a year ago when I had to buy some new tires for my car. I mean, and I try to rotate them out so I only have to buy two at a time because it's like $550-$600 to put tires on my car. Now, for some reason, now this is what the guy told me at the tire shop. He goes, well, your kind of car is new and they don't make, there's not a lot of tires that fit that type of wheel because it's a special wheel on your car. It's a 17-inch wheel. They don't make 17-inch wheels where you come from. Well, here's the deal. See, we'd have to special order those. We can get them in tomorrow, but it's going to be like, you know, close to, you know, $185 a tire. Oh, yeah. Hand me my brown pants.
Yeah, it's like, thanks a lot, goober. Appreciate the bargain.
But what are you going to do? I mean, you're stuck. You can't go anywhere. It's not like you can just go, well, let me pick up my car and I'll drive it. So, I mean, you got a flat. I mean, you're going to have to fix it. So, yeah, they kind of have you there. I mean, if you're shopping around, you may have a little bit more leverage. But if you've got damage to your tire and they take it off to look at it and go, oh, well, I can't patch that, then you're screwed. Yeah, you just pretty much have to throw down the cash to get a new tire.
Well, and when, you know, buying a single tire or filling up your tank of gas is almost reaching your car payment, that's a little sad. That means you're spending more a month on gas and maintenance for your stupid car than you are on the car payment, and that's just unbelievable. You know, if you have to replace a tire and fill up your tank twice in a month, you know, you're well over your car payment, and that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, and it's just going to get worse unless we do something about it. I mean, can we do something about it? You know, a friend of mine posted the other day Absolute Truth, and he said, you know, we're like the breadbasket of the planet. If we said, tell you what, and you know, we are also like, you know, we produce a lot of arms here. I mean, we really do. I mean, let's face it. We, Russia, China, all make a lot of weapons that we supply to other countries, like Saudi Arabia. And hey, if you like those new F-16 parts and those new F-16s, let's talk about oil prices. But that would mean that we had somebody responsible in government that wasn't in on the take, that the oil companies were raking in all this cash, and they talked about this a lot on Dave and Johnny's show about this vicious cycle that one feeds the other, that the taxes they make off the revenue of the oil companies goes into the government so they can spend it on their pork programs, and then, you know, they just keep raising prices, and it just goes back and forth and back and forth, and, well, yeah, we'll let you do this. And it's crazy, and it's going to have to stop at some point because Americans and even the world, there are a lot of places in the world. I know the UK and a lot of different places in the world are spending tremendous amounts of money. People aren't going to be able to go to the grocery store. I mean, and if there's long distances involved, like there is here in the U.S., it's going to become a serious problem, especially for those people who are on fixed incomes.
I propose that we have jetpacks propelled with nitrogen. That sounds like I think it's a solution. I think that'll carry us through. Imagine going to work on a jetpack. How cool would that be? I'd be down.
Well, we're going to jump into another subject that will eventually lead to our interview that we're going to be talking about. This is posted in General Chit Chat, and it was posted by Roper. And the thread is titled, I Was Surprised, Concealed Carry Class. I took the first part of the Oklahoma Concealed Carry Program, the classwork and the range test. I was surprised by the number of people that were there to take the class, 45-plus, if I counted right, mostly men, but there were about 10 women there. The instructor was surprised, too. He wasn't expecting that number. I guess more and more people are expecting trouble. I got to say, I don't know if they're expecting trouble. They just want to be able to defend themselves. They all understand that maybe they're getting the clue that the police aren't there to protect them all the time, and they can't be. And we'll talk more about this in the interview. But it's more about being able to defend yourself. Most of the time, those CCTV V cameras, those closed circuit television cameras that they've got mounted all over the place and all over the world. They just record the crime. They're not going to protect you at all. And people are finding it's their own responsibility to protect themselves. So Roper went to a concealed carry class to get his license.
Yeah, and you know, this is obviously a pretty hot topic around the country and even around the world. I mean, they're going through some gun law issues right now in England. They're going through all these different things. I mean, I live in New York City, and handguns are obviously a big taboo here. They're obviously highly illegal. They have rewards if, you know, specifically with unlicensed handguns, if you turn someone in, it's $1,000, $5,000 reward for all of that. And they have amnesty programs all over the place. You know, if you do have an illegal handgun or, you know, you want to get rid of a gun or something, you can turn it in. And, you know, I got to say, I'm a little torn on it. I've lived here in New York for over 10 years. I live pretty close to one of the worst neighborhoods in the country. And I got to say, you know, there's never been a moment where I was like, you know, I'd feel a little safer if I had a gun on me right now. On the other hand, that one moment that I do get into trouble and I do feel like a handgun would be some sort of benefit to me, you know, then my mind might change a little bit. So it's kind of hard to say. It does frighten me a little bit to think that, you know, if something like this was generated in New York City, you have such a small, you know, patch of land over here on the East Coast, and 9 million people all carrying around handguns just seems a little overwhelming to me. I don't know. I might be wrong.
The Supreme Court's hearing a case on the D.C. gun ban where they said you can't own a gun. You can't. If you own a gun, it has to be disassembled. Well, how are you going to put that thing together unless you're a Marine and you know how to put that weapon together in 15 seconds?
Or Forrest Gump?
Yeah. Here you go. I mean, you're not going to be able to protect yourself. And the bad part about this is law-abiding citizens will follow the law. That makes them an easy target for criminals who, one, don't follow the law, two, don't care about gun laws, and three, don't care about you at all. They just want your stuff, or they want to take your life, or they want to take your family's life. And I think the Second Amendment kind of covers that. It was twofold. It protected the right to keep and bear arms. One, to make sure the government didn't get too crazy and start being a dictatorship. Take note, folks. Second of all, to protect yourself and provide for your family. I mean, people can go, well, you know, that was back in the pioneering days. Well, I'm looking around and I'm seeing violence in the streets and people raped and murdered and all these things taking place and no way to protect them. And yet it seems like the laws are designed to keep you from protecting yourself and then rely on this police state, these cameras. Oh, yeah, we'll put up cameras. We'll do this. And we'll do that to protect you. Well, it doesn't protect you. I mean, it basically records your murder. So, I mean, there's some heated discussion on each side. You want to catch the interview, and we'll talk to Jim Scouten next. For the BTS Mix, I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock.
Hey, everyone. Doc Hancock from the BTS Mix Show here.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. We have a lot of fun goofing around on the BTS Mix Show, but when we want to go way above and get some great programming variety, there's only one place to go, and that's our sister shows here at the Above Network.
That's right, Spencer. And when I need some serious mental stimulation, Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous over at the ATS Mix Show will drop some serious knowledge on you about anything from what's happening now in the news to cutting-edge conspiracy theories to whether or not we're alone in the universe. I know that Johnny and Dave will have insightful discussions about member posts, member interviews, and exclusive interviews with experts in their fields.
Got politics? I tune into the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Need the real scoop about what's going on in Washington? Justin and Martin are here to make sure that none of these folks pull anything over on you, and they keep us up to date with current member discussions, member interviews, and interviews with noted politicians and authors. For politics, Martin and Justin are the guys to turn to.
So come on over and deny boredom with us at the BTS Mix Show, featuring Spencer Tracy and me, Doc Hancock.
Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous.
And deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case.
Be part of the revolution. Above Network LLC.
Now I understand what it is to be an American.
And we've got a special guest on the show with us. Jim Scouten from Shooting USA is in. He's been a shooting reporter for 15 years. Jim, it's great to have you on the show.
Delightful to talk with you guys. And of course, that 15-year anniversary just means that I'm certifiably old. So, but we have, in one way or another, been, as we describe it, reporting on the gun sports for 15 continuous years. under two different names. The original show was called American Shooter when it first debuted on ESPN in the way back. That's 93. And then after 4 years, it moved to TNN. And, of course, TNN doesn't exist anymore. It's now Spike. And we just keep moving. So when that happened, TNN was taken over by a bunch of folks from New York City, and they were horrified to discover that they had a gun show that indicated that gun ownership was a positive experience, so they didn't like that much. So we moved on to OLN, which was, just to create confusion, the Outdoor Life Network, and were there until that network got taken over and became Versus, which is now basically, warfare programming for young boys about 14 to 16 years of age, so that didn't fit anymore. And we were delighted to move on to the Outdoor Channel, which is where we are now. And, of course, the challenge in all this is to let the audience know, because as you are departing a network, you don't get to go back on that network and say, hey, next week we'll be over at Outdoor Channel, you know, since there's a strong sense of competition in cable channels. But one way or another, we've been doing this for 15 years and are delighted to tell you that that the audience has gathered in our newest position, and we're very happy to be at the Outdoor Channel doing Shooting USA, which is the current title of the series.
And for all of our listeners out there, you can go to Jim's website. It's shootingusa.com. That's shootingusa.com. And, Jim, I'm on your homepage right now, and it looks like you just did some coverage of the 2008 Vegas convention
the Big Shot Show.
Yeah, exactly, the Big Shot Show. And tell us a little bit about that. That looks like a really exciting event.
Well, a SHOT Show, if you're not actively involved in the gun industry, by way of background, is the big annual convention. And the only people who can get in are dealers who have a federal firearms license. The public is not invited and not permitted. And so this is the one time each year that the dealers will get to see the new products. So we have, massive booths put up by such folks as Smith & Wesson and Colt and Remington and Federal and all of that. And the dealers spend 4 days moving through something like 13 aisles of booths trying to figure out what the hot stuff is going to be and what they're going to want to have in their gun shops in the coming season. This occurs right around the 1st of January each year. In this particular year, it was in 2008, it was in Las Vegas. And in our case, we set out to do an hour special. Now, we were talking about me being the old guy who has done these shows for 15 years. The new wrinkle is that over the last 4 or 5 years, I've involved some younger guys. You got to have some young blood involved. And so eldest son John Scouten is very much part of the shows. And a guy that's been with us for about a year and a half, Mike Irvine, who is, by the way, an expert duck hunter, among other things, but he's a very good television reporter who we found in a small market and said, hey, how'd you like to come and report on guns instead of going to city council every day? So Mike is with us. So the three of us sat out on the floor and, in fact, managed to collect an extraordinary amount of new stuff and packaged it all into a one-hour special, which was the show of this past week. So that's the stuff that they enjoy out there, basically taking the audience someplace that they're not allowed to go and showing them stuff that they're going to be interested in. And, of course, with email and a website, this is a two-way communication. So anytime we screw up or show them something they're not interested in, we will quickly hear about it without any question. So
we know how that goes for sure. What were some of the hot new products that were at the SHOT Show this year in Vegas?
Well, one of the things, and in fact we're getting ready to do a full segment on it in a show of this coming season, but one of the things that happened is, I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's been initially about 2 years ago, the Department of Defense put out a call for proposals for a new sidearm, handgun, semi-automatic, and they wrote a series of requirements for it. And basically what the Department of Defense was proposing to do was finally give up the long-standing application of the Beretta M9 and the 9mm cartridge and change back to the 45 ACP round, that big, well, in this environment, it certainly applies, that big man-stopper round, that cartridge. So they put out a call for proposals, and since there was going to be something like 300,000 guns to the contract winner, you might imagine all the gun companies tooled up to make their handgun that would fit the requirements. Well, then, as is typical of government, the Department of Defense stopped the competition and said, well, we're not going to do this right now. But we had all of these new gun platforms, if you will, kind of like automotive conversation here, they were in some stage of development. So over this past year or so, and particularly at the SHOT Show, we saw a collection of new handguns being introduced that basically had been caused to be developed by the Department of Defense first asking for a new pistol. And some of these, as is typically the case, first come out in 9mm or 9mm Luger, depending on what term you like. And then the next gun that shows up in that line will be the very popular 40 S&W cartridge, which is pretty well taken over law enforcement use now. And then at the SHOT Show, we saw finally the first iterations of the 45 ACP in, again, each one of those in essentially the same gun platform that was being phased in, kind of like the automakers start with a sedan and then they add the coupe when things get boring. And then finally they come with a convertible. Same kind of deal going on, but in this case the cartridges are getting bigger. So one example is the Smith & Wesson M&P, which stands for Military and Police. And sure enough, at this year's SHOT Show, for the first time you could see, and for the media, for us, we could actually try and arrange the new M&P 45 with all of the specifications the Department of Defense had asked for. So it's a very good time if you're a handgunner, because there's an awful lot of new product on the market thanks to the Department of Defense's indecision about whether they are or they aren't going to do something.
Jim, it seems like a lot of states, United States, are starting to look at concealed carry. Personal defense, of course, a big topic right now, being able to defend yourself as a citizen of the United States. And even the Supreme Court is looking at the Second Amendment right now. We're expecting probably a ruling in June about that. Can you tell us a little bit more about the changing attitudes of self-defense and any hints on what's going on in the Supreme Court right now?
Well, we've got and these are not directly connected. There's sort of a remote connection. But we've got 40 states now that have pretty much agreed on a standard process to approve an honorable citizen to carry a concealed weapon. Tennessee, which is where we're based, was one of the first. So I've had a concealed carry permit for over, 12 years now, I think, something like that. And the law that is the standard in these 40 states is you have to take an approved class, which lasts at least a day. You have to qualify at the range, which basically indicates that if you have to use this thing, you will hit the bad guy and not everybody around you. So that's a requirement. You have to undergo a background check. You have to submit your fingerprints. And once that's completed, then the law in these 40 states was it's called a shall issue law, and in the old days it used to be like if you're a buddy of the sheriff, he'd give you a permit if he felt like it. Well, the shall issue law says if you complete these requirements, the state must give you your concealed carry permit. So we've got those in 40 states, basically the flyover states, the heartland states, the states that vote red. Okay, so you know what we're talking about. Those states, for the most part, all honor each other's permits. And so having a Tennessee permit, I can go to Michigan, and I'm legal under Michigan law because they weren't as quick, but they now have a very similar concealed carry permit in Michigan. There's a few pockets of resistance that, good Lord, may never change until they do something about their political problems, but Illinois is an exception. Not only can you not own a gun in Chicago, but you cannot get a concealed carry permit in the state of Illinois, and obviously they don't honor my permit. So if I'm driving to Michigan, I have to do something with my gun to be legal other than have it in my holster while I'm passing through Illinois. But that, yes, the trend very much hugely in the majority is to trust honorable citizens to be prepared to defend themselves or defend the lives of anybody else. If you happen to be at a gas station and there's a stick-up going on and you choose to intervene, you know, it is legal for you to have your gun there and do that. I think everybody understands and has understood for many years that the cops come, no disrespect intended, but the cops show up after you call 911 and they clean up and investigate the murder scene. They just won't get there in time to prevent it in most cases. So folks understand they have to be responsible for their own safety. So that's one very growing, and the pressure is growing, I think, in places that don't permit concealed carry. Notably, that's the East and West Coasts. We talked about Illinois. So California, Oregon, and Washington, forget it. It's just not going to happen because that's you can connect to politics, okay? If you connect states that are controlled by Democrats historically to this particular issue, you know, you can't defend yourself there. So,
well, here's something that I've also seen, though, Jim, is liberal organizations that maybe are more concerned now about their civil rights are actually urging their members to push for concealed carry or some way for gun laws to allow them to carry because of maybe a fear of persecution and things like that.
Well, I think you're talking about, if I remember right, the Pink Pistols. Isn't that the gay and lesbians group that is in favor of concealed carry permits? Well, it's fine with me. It makes perfect sense because they have been the targets of violent attacks because of their sexual orientation over the years. There's another group, Jews for the Preservation of Self-Defense or something, and I'm not getting that right, also very active with guns and permits and pushing for it because of the long and unfortunate history of folks who are members of that religion who have been persecuted. So, I mean, you know, that's an easy one to see. We don't always have a direct connection between liberal politics and banning guns, but in the main, we do, and most often we do. So, now, you want to go after that Supreme Court case that's going on?
Sure. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is a case, a gentleman named Heller, who turned out to be a very good test case to try to overturn the District of Columbia's longstanding flat-out ban on the ownership in the district of handguns. And further, the law said, if I get this correct, if there's lawyers out there, they'll be all over me by email. Jim@ShootingUSA.com. Tell me where I went wrong, guys, okay? The district law also further said that if you had a long gun, it had to be disassembled and locked up in such a way that it could not be quickly put into use. So you're banned from protecting yourself. Well, Heller was a security guard who spent his days legally carrying a pistol at his place of work to defend, and I've forgotten where he was working, but, you know, the folks that he was charged with securing, and when he went home, he couldn't have his handgun to defend himself and his family. Great case. So it first went through court. The District of Columbia lost on Second Amendment grounds, the right to possess arms, and then they appealed it at the circuit court level, and they lost again, and so they appealed it to the Supreme Court. And it has now become potentially a very important case, or it may amount to nothing much. And the reason is that a ruling by the Supreme Court on a law in the District of Columbia may or may not extend the findings to states, because this is the District of Columbia, it's not a state. But so far the expectation is that but certainly from the oral arguments, the court and the justices certainly sounded like they were about to rule in favor of gun rights and continue to overturn the District of Columbia law that bans handguns, as we said. So everybody's watching that one. That may be a breakthrough to finally, after 60, 70 years, clearly define what the Second Amendment of the Constitution means.
Something a little bit lighter then, because we've gone through the self-defense, and these are some heavy topics for some people, but there is some neat things out there. As a matter of fact, I just went to a clay shoot, and I just got my wife involved in that shooting sport, and I noticed during some of our giveaways and during the shoot that a lot of women are becoming involved in shooting sports and are just discovering whether that's clay shooting or action shooting or even something called cowboy action shooting. Can you talk a little bit about cowboy action shooting, Jim?
Sure. It's the basic premise that started now about 27 years ago that it would be fun to shoot the old guns being single action six guns. And if you're not a gun person, what we're talking about is the guns that you saw your cowboy heroes using, carrying in their holsters, quick drawing to shoot the bad guy, shoot the gun out of his hand. You know, it was great, wonderful stuff growing up watching that on TV. Roy Rogers, the Cisco Kid, and of course, this continues right through some of our great cowboy movies, John Wayne movies, and so on. So the idea was, well, look, these guns are around. You can buy them. Basically, you're buying, in most cases, clones of the guns of the period, and the period is from about 1875 to 1898. And then they added in the rifles of the period, which were most often Winchester lever guns. Cycle the lever every time you want to shoot again. And finally they added in classic shotguns that would be part of this competition, which frequently are coach guns, which means a short-barreled side-by-side gun with or perhaps it has hammers that have to be cocked before you can fire each round. So basically what the deal was, let's take the old cowboy guns and compete with steel targets, knockdown targets, like action shooting competition. Well, from that, man, it caught on, and for the past 25 years, people are expected to adopt an alias. In fact, I'm a life member of the Single Action Shooting Society, and my alias is Ten Ring, which I used for years on TV as a sign-off. And people get to know you more in that environment by your alias than they do by your real name. And, of course, you're expected to dress authentically with a 10-gallon hat. In my case, say what you want about big-headed TV people, I need a 15-gallon hat. You know, and classic boots, and so this whole industry sprang up to supply this this growing sport, and it is far and away the most successful shooting sports story in the past 25, 50 years. There are more people involved in cowboy action shooting, I think, than anything short of ATA, American Trap Association, organized trap shooting. That's also very big, but cowboy action shooting is just great fun. We cover the national event every year, which is called End of Trail. It's now held out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So fun stuff. You get to play cowboy like your cowboy heroes of the past. And for a four-day weekend, come and live the lifestyle and go to the saloon after you put your six guns up for the day and then show up in the morning and go shoot with your posse of friends and see how well you do. So it's a huge success story.
And you actually do have a lot of people that come in from out of the country, like the UK, maybe Australia, to come in and shoot at these events, too.
That, we run into people coming to shoot matches, and it's not just cowboy action shooting. We run into people coming from literally all over the world. And you know, we cover International Defensive Shooting Association events, and at the most recent one at the indoor Smith & Wesson Ranges, for the second year in a row, a group showed up from Italy, only one of whom spoke any English at all. And I got to tell you, that's a fun interview. But this stuff, somebody translate Julio over there, you know. But this stuff is this stuff has caught on and has spread in most cases worldwide. And believe it or not, we've met Russians shooting cowboy action in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who made the trip over to our national event, and they have a cowboy action shooting competition and a club that gets together once a month, and they shoot our old guns from the old West in Russia. It has nothing to do with their history, but the spread of American Western movies around the world has made our Western history very popular in some very strange places.
Wow. Well, all right, Doc, I think you've just about got a name that we wouldn't have to tamper much with to have your alias.
But we're close. We can come up with something, and Doc will be ready to go.
And, you know, Spencer was talking earlier about the fact that his wife was getting really involved with shooting, and I was looking at your TV schedule section, Jim, and noticed that on May 28th you have a show coming up called Women on Target. And something that interests me, I was reading that, it says, you know, women want to learn about guns and shooting, but husbands and boyfriends are not good teachers. Why is that? Why can't...
Well, I kind of refer to all of us as, you know, the Mr. Know-it-alls, and, you know, the women tolerate that, you know, when we're telling them the best way to repair the lawnmower. But if it's like, all right, honey, no, don't hold the gun that way. We just are not the best communicators and the most patient teachers as a rule. And so Women on Target is a great program held around the country by the NRA, and they have another version of it. And what we covered was target shooting, which was a combination of trying your first shots with a revolver and trying some shots and learning to shoot some trap with a shotgun. Hugely successful. They also have a women in hunting program to get women actually out in the field going after their first white-tailed deer. So it works very well because instructors, many of which are female and experienced females, and some of which are men who are not spouses. Okay, so it works very well in a supportive environment, as we found out when we kind of snuck into one of these women only events and came back with a story. So we're doing as much as we can, as often as we can, to let women in the audience know that, number one, you're allowed to stop and sit down on the couch and watch this show, because we're going to do something that will interest you as a woman. Secondly, you're very much invited to get some information, whether it's coming from us or coming from your local gun store, about self-defense and what kind of pistol might be appropriate if you're going to get a permit and carry it in your purse. And I explained to some of the guys who send emails that I'm working for them. I'm trying to get the lady of the house to understand and develop some enthusiasm for this passion that her husband may have that has him going to the range once a month and making a lot of noise with his guns. So women are very definitely taking a greater interest, particularly in these times when there's no shortage of crime stories and that sort of thing. So for whatever reason, whether sport or hunting or personal defense, as we were talking about, women are very much a factor in the marketplace.
Well, Jim, I've got to tell you, your show is one of the best produced on television. Obviously, the long run there is a great testament to that. I enjoy the show. I think that you guys do a great job, and you always do a stand-up job covering the issues and reporting. Again, I would like to encourage everyone to visit the site shootingusa.com. If you'd like to drop Jim an email, Jim, what's that email they can write you?
It's as easy as we can make it, jim@shootingusa.com. And, you know, tell me what you like, tell me what you don't like. Tell me that you think we're outrageous to be promoting carrying guns around the country. It's interesting. We very rarely hear from the anti-gunners. So for the most part, the folks who are fans and are involved in watching the shows are very much enthusiastic about what we do.
Well, Jim, it's been a real pleasure having you on, and you know, thanks for joining us. We wish you another terrific 15 years on Shooting USA. Thanks a lot for talking with us.
I'll be a real elderly cat if your wish comes true, but I appreciate the sentiment nonetheless. So, Enjoyed it, gentlemen. Thanks very much.
This is Agent X. You may know me as a secret informant for Dave and Johnny's ATS Mix Show. But a lot of you may not know is that I chose their show because AboveTopSecret.com is the only website out there that covers all the subjects that I love, whether it's a conspiracy about 9/11 or the secret United Nations meetings with extraterrestrials. I know I'm going to get the need-to-know updated information that I crave. I'd tell you more, but then I'd have to kill you. X out.
And we're back with the BTS Mix. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And Spencer, I do believe it is the BTS Mix screen test moment for us.
Yes, it is. And an actress turned 101 this week. She's no longer with us. But, of course, she was tied into people like Howard Hughes, my namesake, Spencer Tracy. Now, we're looking for the answer to this question. What actress?
And you would think it would be pretty easy if it was just who is that actress? But oh no! We're going to take it to another level, Spencer.
Which is, I forgot the level. I forgot what we were going to ask.
There is an actress who played the woman who turned 101 this week and won an Academy Award for it. So the question is, who played the woman in a movie and won an Academy Award for it? Of the woman who turned 101 this week.
Well, that couldn't be any more convoluted, could it? We had to make it tough, though.
You also have to go meet a man in the park at midnight. He will be wearing a black fedora and carrying a red feather in his cap.
And that does it for the BTS Mix. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.